Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Cy Brown, just hanging out with everybody today. It is Wednesday. We are going to have a great show today. Here to share with you, just to talk about domestic violence. Domestic violence is not okay. It's not cool. You know, I don't even know what to say about it. I attend a support group every Wednesday from 10 to 12, you all know, at the Family Success Center. And today we talked about domestic violence. And it goes beyond, oh, I love him, he loves me, this is cool, this is not cool. It's really not cool. Under any circumstances, is it not cool to get abused, to be a victim, to get beaten? It's just really, really not. And I think for the most part today, I'm going to share with you why I'm such a supporter of domestic violence awareness, just a supporter of women being empowered. And I say women just because more often than not, women are the victims. It's not always the case, but more often than not, women are the victims. And it's really not okay. And this is something that needs to be dealt with, something that needs to be addressed. We can't sweep this under the rug. We can't pretend that it doesn't exist. And so I'm using my platform today to just really get it in about what's going on with domestic violence, you know, some of the signals, just really giving everybody some clear information about what's going on with DV. Before we jump into today's show, I see we have a caller from the 312 area code. Caller from 312, are you just listening? Are you checking in? Talk to me.
Well, actually, I'm Terry Stevens.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Okay, you know what?
But I can jump in. I can jump in.
No, you know what, Terry? I love you. I wanted to talk with you. Everybody, you know what? This is hilarious. Okay, we're getting ready to switch lanes real with the quickness. Right now, you're listening to Terry Stevens, who is on Project Runway, who I watched. I love the show, and Terry was one of my favorites. But, you know, this is the thing when we get to be people like Terry. We've got people that, you know, we've got our assistants. And I said, you know what? You need to have Terry on the show. I got this press release, and I was probably more excited because I'm like, oh, my God, I saw her on TV. And I thought we couldn't make it happen. And so
we can make it happen.
I thought we couldn't make it happen. So on the flip side of that, I said, okay, you know, my producer and I, we said, okay, I'm big on DV, and I do attend a support group every Wednesday, and our topic today was DV. So I'm like, okay, a good segue. Well, I'll just talk about what I've just been talking about for 2 hours. And I'm like, wait a minute. We got Terry Stevens on the line. Well, you know what, Terry? It's a pleasure. I'm very, very excited, as you can hear from my voice, to have you on the line with me. Let me open up the chat room. Oh, well, the chat room is already open. And
so wait, we can talk about domestic abuse and fashion. It goes together.
Oh, my goodness. We sure can. This is great. This is exciting. I'm so happy.
When you fill out the police report, you got to look good. You got to look good.
You are too funny. You know what? It's funny because I did share with my listeners yesterday. I said, Terry Stevens from Project Runway is going to be on the show. And they're like, all right, cool. So now y'all know I'll tell the truth.
But that's what's good about live TV, live radio. You can flip the script. It's spontaneous, and let's go with it.
Don't you know, I am quick to say this is my show, and I will.
All right.
Now we're going to get down. No, but it's an absolute pleasure. Hey, Pastor Montan, who's listening in Tennessee, don't look at the screen. We've got Terry Stevens, and I will update today's topic of the show right after the show. Terry, let everybody know who you are, because I know who you are.
I'm Terry Stevens. People know me from Project Runway, but I was always famous in my mind before that. So, yeah. No, really. If you ask my friends, they're like, she is Michael Jackson, and she is not.
You know what? It's all good. You know, talk to me a little bit about when. Now, see, I have my questions ready, and they're not in front of me, but this is proper preparation prevents poor planning or something like that, however they say it.
Something similar.
Yeah, right? along the same lines. Talk to me a little bit about what made you decide to go into fashion, because one of the things about the show is, you know, we see people on TV, and I was a publicist in hip-hop for years, but there's always a story behind what people see. So can you talk to me a little bit about what got you to say, I want to be in fashion?
To be honest, I don't know when it started. I can just go back off of what I saw at home. My grandmother was this amazing seamstress and tailor, and my mom had such sickening fashion that it scares me. I look at her pictures right now, and it could be on the cover of Vogue. Like, she just was working it. She knew she was fly. That's all I can say. And I guess I just developed it, but I have always known I wanted to do dance and fashion, and I was like, how can I make it all work? And I also wanted to be a zoologist and study tigers and panthers and all this stuff, but, mama likes the creative parts of it more so than the brain. So I was like, not saying that I'm stupid, I'm just saying, I'm like, that's about 16 years of school, I can knock this out naturally, because this was a natural talent, I felt. So I just think my early influences were just people that I was looking at, and to this day I still love like Diana Ross, and I still love Diana Ross and Lady Sings the Blues and Mahogany.
Oh my God,
it was sick. And then I love like Katharine Hepburn. Like I guess I've always kind of had this kind of like androgynous kind of style, like mixing of male and female, and just I love pantsuits and like layers. And Katharine Hepburn to me was like one of the best at doing that, and Diana, like they just worked it. They can throw feminine on you, but they can switch it out in a heartbeat and just like get all eyes on them when they enter a room. So, I mean, I just think that's it. And then just the people that I was around just always had a great sense of style. So, I don't know. It was always that in dance. And like you say, you come from a hip-hop background. All of that is, I try to present in my clothing, like hip-hop, rock, rap, punk, everything, because I love all of that. So, I really kind of designed for me. Yeah, I really kind of designed for me, but other people seem to like it, because I'm like, this is how I would dress, you know, like I normally like to dress like a dancer, or like as my husband would say, you are not, my husband's like, he's a break dancer, so he's like, he's from Brazil, so he was break dancing out there,
wow.
And that's kind of how we met. I was just on vacation, not intending to meet anybody, like, so the single girl doing my single thing, love it, you know. And even though I didn't date, but I was like, I don't need anyone. And I was in Brazil, in Copacabana, like in Rio, and went to this place called the Lapa, where it's like 100 clubs, and it's all kinds of clubs, hip-hop, rock, punk, everything. And I walked in, and he saw me, and I saw him, and my friend was like, you better go get that. I was like, okay. And next thing I know, he starts spinning on his head, and I was like, okay, we got this, because I'm like, dance, DJ, yes. And and now he's here. We've been together almost 2 years, so married almost 2 years. So. So, yeah.
Now, I want to get into a little bit about just you and your career. Wow, we have a full chat room. Let me just see what's going on in the chat room very quickly. If anyone has any questions for Terry, we're listening. Hit F5 on your browser, everybody, and you'll see the updated show details. You're listening right now to Terry Stevens, who was on Project Runway. Oh, just her fashions were the bomb. So I'm so excited to interview you. I sound like such a fan.
Thank
you.
No, I love it. Like I love that you love. No, I know. I'm like relax, relate, release. No, I love it. But that what you saw on the show was nothing. Like if I would come to a town near you and have a fashion show, you guys, because that was nothing. Because you know you're dealing with challenges and what you have.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about that.
My stuff is so. Of course, like I would never. I mean. In real life make something from like a mop head, but you know, that's
right.
What the test was.
Yeah,
everyone is requesting that top. Like I've made it so I have a knitter and she's amazing. So she's been making me different variations of that. So I have some coming out for spring and not from a mop, but like a nice wool yarns and cotton yarns and different like spuns. So it's that right there was a true test of like, oh my God, because I remember people saying, oh, God, she's going home. She's making something for mop heads, like, afterwards. And it was like, even my family was like, what were you thinking? And they was like, oh, she's going to blow it. And then when they saw it, it was like, you really made it look like it was a knit top and crocheted and all
of
that.
You really did.
But that's when I heard the challenge, I just said, I want textures, and I love knits, and I was like, I'm going for the mop heads. Lord, please let them have mop heads.
Can you tell us a little bit, for those that may not have caught that episode, tell us a little bit about that challenge and what was it about? What was the actual challenge? Because I saw you had to go into a grocery store, right?
Yeah, so basically they were going to recreate some of the past challenges, and that was one from a previous show. So it was the Gristides Grocery Store Challenge,
mm-hmm.
and we had to create something from something in the grocery store. Some people thought that it meant you had to actually use, like, fruits, vegetables, food, but no, it's anything from a grocery store. But, of course, you knew that if you kind of used fabric, something that you weren't going to get much props for it. So I just really wanted to use the knits, I mean, like a knit-looking item. But, I mean, I thought it was a great challenge, and I think I stepped up to the plate. Everyone's still shocked that I wasn't in the top three or one that
yeah.
one. But, you know, c'est la vie, c'est comme ça. I can't.
Can you share with my listeners a little bit about just how you managed to get on Project Runway?
Well, I never watched the show. I didn't have cable because previously I was working for Levi's, and I traveled almost like 95% of the time. So I was like, okay, why do I have cable if I'm never there? But
right.
then I started having a pet sitter to watch my pet, and all my friends in Chicago, everybody has a key to my place. Like, if I knew you for more than 5 minutes, you would have a key to my place. So I was like, well, let me get it for them. And then they start telling me, there's this show called Project Runway. You need
yep.
to get on it. And so I started watching it. I started watching it the previous season with Christian and Ricky and Nick and all of them. And I was like, oh, okay, this is good. This is a good show. So my one friend, Christian, called me. It was like, Terry, they're having casting. It was at the end of the last show. You need to do it. And I found out it was going to be in Chicago because I'm like, I'm not going to New York because I know it's going to be crazy. I'm doing my hometown. Got there, and it's a series of auditions. And I thought it was going to be like how American Idol has like 10 million people in line. It wasn't like that at all. I mean, I was prepared to sleep outside and all this stuff, and something said, don't do it. And I just got there. It started at 8 o'clock. I got there at 8, and I was like number 31. And
wow.
I knew from when I was like, I don't take this the wrong way, people, but I am very confident in myself. So,
no,
like, what I'm about to say, they're going to be like, she is so full of herself. But I knew in line that I had it because I figured I had a great chance. I thought I had it because people in line, I had my models with me, and people in line were like, just coming up to me like, your stuff is like sick. It's like beautiful. Oh my God. If they don't pick you, there's something wrong. So then once we got indoors, I can hear all the people on the headsets, and I have like canine hearing, and I can hear them going, okay, they're like number 31. And I'm like, okay, love it.
Okay.
You know, I'm like,
okay.
There's a bug. But then, you know, it's TV. You never know. It could be number 31. I don't know why she's here. So it can hit you in the face. So we get up there, and my models put on the clothes, and they are looking amazing. Because I knew I could not, because you had the choice of showing yourself on the rolling rack, a hanger, on the form, or whatever, or models. And I know we're in the industry. You need to see it. We're visual. Like my stuff especially needs to be on a body. So when they came out and was dressed, there were people that were dropping out while we were in the waiting room. They're like, okay, I can't go if you're going in there. And other designers were taking pictures of myself, and then when we went in, like, I mean, you can see the live audition online, but when we walked in, Tim and all of the judges, their mouths just opened. They were like, where have you been all this time? And I was like, got it, because I was like, if I could get Tim, you know, I love Tim. I was like, if I could get Tim on my side, it's done. And when we walked in, their mouths opened.
I love
him.
I love him.
he's not always right, because sometimes if Tim loves you, that's a sign you're going home. Like, Katoa and I would be like, sometimes you don't want Tim to critique your work. He'll pump you up, making you think you got it nailed, and Heidi and Michael and Nina, like, not so much.
How was it, like, coming to New York? And, see, I'm a New Yorker, and there's a couple of things in the chat room. My buddy True, who's in Cali, but he's in Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn, but he's in Cali now. He always listens. He says, where is she from? She sounds so New Yorkish with that swagger. Where are you from, Terry?
I am from the Chi, 312.
She's from Chicago.
But I've lived in several other places. So, because people are always like, you feel European, you feel New York. And that's like the biggest compliment, because New Yorkers do not give you props unless you got it. So, like,
yeah, New Yorkers are, yeah. You know.
Y'all are hardcore. Like, y'all are like, oh, you have to earn it. So I'm like, when people say they think I'm from New York or like Europe, I'm like, I've made it. I have arrived.
You know, it's too funny. We always wear black. And when I moved to Atlanta, my whole wardrobe was black. And mm-hmm. this woman, you know, the Southern Belles, and they wear peaches and yellows and all this stuff.
Oh.
We wear black with everything. And they're like, Saida, do you own anything that's not black? I'm like, is there anything but black?
I don't think you need to. No, don't let them get in your head. You don't need to. No, I'm sorry. So when I pack stuff for New York, there's like what? Everything in my closet is black anyway, but I'm like, pretty much you just need, like, for Fashion Week, they're like, what are you wearing? I'm like, it doesn't matter as long as it's black. Like,
I
really.
Know that's right. Terry, can you take some calls? I have a caller on the line. Do you have a, you're good with that,
we'll
right?
Do it. Yeah.
All right. Let me pull up my switchboard. Melissa, I see you in the chat room. You shared with me when you were at my house last Friday night that you wanted to start your T-shirt business. You have a fashionista on the line. So if you don't call in, I'm going to get you, girl. So you better call in. We have you. You have, and now my caller from 704 just bounced. See, Melissa, now you have to call in and ask Terry a question. Caller from 704, call back. Sorry, I was logging into the switchboard, yelling at my friend Melissa.
I love it. You're busting people out. I love it. You are putting people on blast.
You know why? This show is so much fun, and I do everything I do in love, and I want everybody to grow and learn. And you know what, Terry? So many times people express what they want to do, and when they're presented with an opportunity, they freeze or they're not sure how the person may, what they may think about them. This show is about breaking down every wall, every barrier, every hindrance so you can walk in the purpose that God has for you. So you know what? When somebody expresses to me, Saida, I have a T-shirt line, and I have you on the show, and I happen to see her in the switchboard, you best believe I'm calling you out. You put it out to the universe, so it's time to walk in it, you know?
So even though she's hung up or whatever,
she
needs to do, okay, she needs to just have people wearing her stuff, give that stuff out for free. Like,
ooh,
I mean, it's a
okay.
T-shirt. No, I'm serious. Like, it's all about publicity and networking, and hello, if someone's wearing something. I don't know if you know, I have these, like, wool shoelace scarves that I do with leather fringe laces on it, shoelaces. And I'm just giving them out. Like, I gave them to Tracy Ross, I gave them to Sandra Bernhardt, and then now those are, like, clients of mine. So you just have to network. Yeah, I mean, Sandra Bernhardt loved me when she saw me on the show. Like, she was like, you are fabulous. I love you. Call me. And I was like, are the producers looking at this? Because this is, like, why we're filming. But I was loving it. And she put me in her act, even. Like, went to see her on tour. She invited me to go, and she put me in her act, like, talking about the whole what went down, because she was like, I say it hands down, Terry Stevens. And for those of you all listening, I think I was the first time in the history. Usually if the special guest judge votes for you, wants you, you win. I mean, that happened on several times with me, didn't win. So I was like, conspiracy.
Yeah.
It was a conspiracy, I'm telling you.
That's too funny. Okay, we have callers. Melissa, I see you're on the line at 718. I'm going to pick up 704 first, and Melissa, I'll pick you up on a second. Caller from 704, you're on the line with Sy Brown, Life Remix Radio, and Miss Terry Stevens from Project Runway. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
Well, actually, I was just listening. This is Spike Spielberg. I'm out.
Thanks for calling in and checking out the show. What's good, baby?
Well, you know, I show some love. I mean, even if I'm not at the computer, I enjoy listening to you because you motivate me through the day, you know what I'm saying, in the midday, and help me get prepared for the Spike Spielberg Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio.
You better
I'm just listening. I haven't really grasped enough, but, I mean, if she's working with Project Runway, she's out there making it happen. You always bring in some great guests onto the show, and I think that I was just catching a little bit of it as she was talking about, you know, putting herself out there and allowing, you know, contacts and networking and that generating business and turning people into clients. I think that's a great approach because especially nowadays, because if you put your stuff out there, nobody's going to know about you. And
you're right.
It seems like this young lady is like really blowing it up. I don't really get a chance to watch TV because I'm always on the go, or either that or I'm trying to create TV. But I think that you know, you got a great avenue. I've seen maybe a couple promos or something like that for Project Runway, but keep doing what you're doing, sister. And if you're making it to that particular level, I know we're going to continue to hear your name in the future. And maybe you have an opportunity that we can work together on a film project or something like that. I got a great film that I'm producing now called The New Teacher, about a young kid that's a genius. And we just attached Tiny Lister, who played Debo, in Friday to the project. We're looking at Sherman Hensley and a couple other people. So, I mean, feel free to check out my website, SpikeSpielberg.com, and I'm going to keep listening because I love me Brown.
You know what, Spike? What I'll do is I'll forward. He's a director, and he has a show that comes on at 9 o'clock weekdays, just like mine comes on at 12 noon. Spike, I'll forward your information to Terry and her publicist, and hopefully, you know, we can make it happen. It's all about us making big things happen collectively. There's no big I's and little U's on this show, you know?
All day. I love it. I'm keeping my life remixed, baby. I'm on the dot.
Thanks, Spike. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for the support. I really appreciate it. I see a caller on the switchboard from 718. Is this my buddy, Melissa?
Yes, it is. Bye.
Amen. I'm so happy that you called in. Girl, okay, I wish we could all, like, just be flies on the wall.
Yes.
You have Terry on the line. She is so gracious to hang out with us for some time today. You better get your questions in now.
Yes. Well, I'm glad I tuned in because Terry is truly an inspiration. I used to have to record your show because I traveled late from Port Washington at night at time. I had to do extra work for my job, but I would get in and record the show. And it was like when I looked at your clothing line, and I said, well, your slacks are so well-tailored. But it goes back to history with my mother. My mother was a seamstress for years. She owned a store in Brooklyn. So I was taught early how to sew at 9, 12. And then when I looked at your inspirations for sweaters, that was along my line as well. I've been knitting and crocheting sweaters, but I took it to another level. I couldn't take the, you know, regular type of crocheted or something that was just looked little in somebody's eye and maybe didn't look so pretty. So I would turn it around and reinvent it and make it look like it was knitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always had been good with my hands and aspects of doing that, and now dabbling into T-shirts where my poetic message, my spiritual messages are directed towards stop the violence and domestic abuse. So I've been really designing a lot of great T-shirts with my company, Woman of Color Fine Jewelry, which is 18 karat gold jewelry company, but its cash flow revenue comes from my spiritual T-shirts, and that's the company was started for domestic violence. So I took your suggestions, getting things out there free. At first I said, the only one I want to really give a free T-shirt to is Sai. I'm not giving no free T-shirts to anybody else. I want this little limited budget here, but I understand, too, where promoting it and getting it to, you know, into the hands of people is very important.
I'm so sorry. Please continue. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Terry?
No, I was going to say that I mean, like, what your platform is, it's all about, like, empowering women and getting that message out. So you can maybe try connecting with some of these chapters, like, and getting them on your, getting your T-shirts, like, put on their websites or something so they can know that this is another avenue and, like, you can get this T-shirt to say stop the violence or whatever, you know. Like, just partner with some of these chapters for domestic abuse and any kind of abuse or whatever, whatever your message is on your shirts, and see if you can partner with them. So they're always having events. They're always having, like, workshops, and so they can sell your stuff. And, you know, that could be a way. Or just, you have all these women in Hollywood, women in film, women in music. They may wear your stuff and get the message out because they all have camps. I know Tyra has a camp. Beyonce has a camp. Mariah, they all have these camps to inspire women, and maybe this is a way that you can help get it out there. I'm not saying give out 100 T-shirts, but give them out, like, at least, let's say, 20. Because it's just an investment into your company.
Terry?
Yeah, yeah. It's just an investment back into your company,
okay,
you know.
Because
When I worked for Victoria's Secret, I was like, I gave stuff out to the CEO as a gift. I was like, here's a little gift. And she was wearing it everywhere. The next thing I know, people are calling me. It's like, where did you get this scarf? I've never seen a scarf like that. Where did you get that jacket? So I was very strategic on who I was giving things to. I'm like, she's the freaking CEO of Victoria's Secret.
Right.
She's going to be traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And then there you go. I get like 10 customers from her, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think, then that's a great way of networking, and that's something I'm definitely going to push. And as well as, I mean, you're really just a wonderful designer. Like, I've seen many designers on the show. And in regards to also, I have a question with your knitting and your crocheting line and things like that. The fact that I've been doing it for many years, but mine is I've done one-of-a-kind sweaters. A lot of people say, well, you don't write your stuff. I don't draft. I do a sketch of a drawing, but implementing the stitches and the fabric, telling you how many counts and things like that, I keep it mentally in my head. I can design a sweater 10 years ago, and I can tell you how many stitches in each one of those sweaters. But I later on, I wanted to take another route after I do what I do now, is to set up pushing my line, which is a young girl's line of sweaters and knitting. It's a combination of fabric. I have denim as well. Swarovski crystals on some of the sweaters, and I want to push that into a market for little girl sweaters, and I wanted to get some information, whereas how do you start so far as the factories are, you know, concerned on getting your line out there?
Well, now it seems like, so are you, who is your target client? Like, have you sat down and did a business plan? Because you need to know who your target client is.
That's good information,
are you marketing,
Jerry.
And are you marketing towards them? Because if you're using Swarovski crystals, it sounds like you're a high end. So you may see who your demographic is. Your demographic may be on the Upper East Side and West Side, or, you know, look at that income level, because that seems like that's a high price point.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, and then are you selling stuff? Like, my knit sweaters are, like, really high end, just because it's the time it takes for that to come about. So I'm like, man, if my knit one of these, I got to make sure I'm getting the money back into it. Like, is it taking you 3 hours to make something, or is it taking you 12 hours to make something, and how much do you want to get paid for that? You have to take all of it into consideration. So, and then you go from that. And like, I did a A, B, and C business plan so that I can make sure, like, I cover all bases. I can present this one to this one, this one to this one, and then if it's the sky's the limit, then you're getting the A business plan. If the sky isn't the limit, then you're getting the C business plan. And if it's in between, I gave the B so that I can make sure I'm covered, so I don't have to keep going back and redrafting.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's all about knowing who your target customer is. I know my target customer. I know they're anywhere from, like, 21 to possibly 50, because I don't think my stuff has an age limit. It's just more on if you're willing to be funkified or not. If you're willing to rock the funk, then here you go. If not, then I'm not for you. And it's okay, because you can't be all things to everybody.
Terry, before we get in, Melissa, think about, you know, like, one or two more questions, and I'm going to keep being nosy and getting my questions in. But
oh,
Terry,
go ahead, girl.
you know, it's great to have you on the show, but the key is, the way I found you is that you have a blog. Can you give us the blog address so I can post it up in the chat room?
Okay, yes. The blog address is www.terrystevensfunkdat.blogspot.com. And
okay,
I mean,
Terry, hold on 1 second, because I'm typing as we typing as you speak. Terry Stevens, and then spell the rest.
FUNKDAT.
Uh-huh. Yep.
.blogspot.com. And that's Terry with two R's and an I. Everybody loves to make it one R and one I, and I am not her.
No. I got you, T. I got you, girl. We're going to get those, get your blog followers up. So, everybody, I'm putting it in the chat room. Big shout out to Tom Ficklin, who just joined us in the chat room, Ficklin Media Group out of Connecticut. Hey, Tom, you are listening to Terry Stevens from Project Runway. You and I have to connect, too. I owe you a phone call from a while ago, so thank you very much for checking me out today. I just put Terry's blog in the chat room, which is Terry Stevens Funk. dat.blogspot.com. We want to make sure everybody checks out your blog, and we want to make sure that everybody is following Terry. Melissa, did you have any more questions, darling?
No more questions. I mean, I love her advice, and of course, you always give me great advice. But that was something I was looking at down the road a year from now with my sweaters, but they are more so high end. And I'm definitely going to, take that into consideration, what I need to look at so far as a business plan and aspects of my sweaters. Yes.
And the thing is, you have your good friend right here. Just let her rock your stuff. You have me excited. I thought I had high energy. I love it. This girl is pumped up. I think she can sell your sweaters for you.
Hey, you know, this is me every day.
I love enough
bouts. You know, my listeners followed me through my bouts with depression. My kids acted nutty. And I've been pretty consistent like this for the last couple of months because I made a decision. I want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a decision. It was not, you know, you're not happy by chance. And I've been in those dark places, just being an entrepreneur, when your money's funny and your business isn't right. And I literally was in the bed the end of last year for a couple of months. And finally, I'm like, sigh. I still got up and did the show, you know, every day. But I finally had to get out of bed and say, you know what? I have to get up. I've got to keep moving. So every day I wake up, it's a conscious decision that I'm going to, today is my best day ever. And so I guess it's resonating through my voice right now, but this is really Cy Brown every day.
But you know what? But that's good because it's genuine, because if you are, this is a hard industry, any industry in the arts or whatever that you're passionate about, you have to be willing to, you're going to suffer to go through it. Like that, like you're saying, maybe days when the money is funny, there are days when you're like you're saying, you were in the bed, you know, when you're not up doing your hair and taking baths and just laying down, there's a problem. So you made a conscious decision to get yourself together.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to. You went through the struggle and you came through, and look at it. So everyone, it has not always been easy for me. I mean, it's not like I was down and out, but I have sent my stuff to so many designers, and I will never say the names of whom, but they have stolen my designs. And it's hard when you are the young one coming up and you're trying to make yourself known, but you're like, what can you do? Because you can't really trademark the fashion. You just have to say, oh, well, I guess it's a compliment. But you're like, but it's not a compliment because you could have just hired me or whatever. If you thought it was that hot, then just hire me, put me on payroll, contract, whatever. So you got to be willing to, if you're passionate about it, if this is something you love doing and you have passion about it, you got to be willing to be in it for the long haul. Even if you're just doing it on the side or whatever until it takes off, you still got to keep doing something and document it. Take pictures. You can get websites for free.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get websites for free.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show, how you can just register a domain name for $1 and start a blog, and you're online. Use your camera phone even.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You don't need to spend, especially when you're, first of all, people love a grassroots. So people love when they see a company or something that started off so small and then it went from like 10 people to 100 to 100 to 1,000, and they watch it grow. So like you're saying, take your camera phone, get just put a little light up behind it and take a picture of yourself and document it, put it on the website or on your MySpace or whatever. Just there are ways to get around it. There are ways to get around it.
I, Melissa, I muted your line, but if you have another question as this interview continues, please press the number 1 on your phone, and I'll pick you up on the switchboard. Terry, let me address something with you from fashion. Two things. I'm 5'8 and 180 pounds, and by society standards, I'm fat. I do have a middle. My arms are getting a little chunky. Why is it so difficult for black women in particular to find stuff in the store that fits? I don't get it. Is it because we're not – what are those things called? Like when you guys are designing clothes, please forgive my ignorance in this area, but when you're – is it like a dummy or something or a mannequin? What are those
forms.
Things? Okay.
Dress forms. But – okay, go ahead. So break it down. What's your question?
That's not my size. And now, you know, I'm in my late 30s. I want to go shop for something. Everything in the stores look very young, or everything in the stores is too small. I'm now looking at, like, Ashley Stewart just because they have a 12. Like, is it that there's no that they're not cognizant that black women or shapely women or women of color need clothes too? Everybody is not a size 4 and can shop at Banana Republic.
You finished? Because I hear the passion in the voice. I hear the passion. It's rising up. It's rising up.
Yeah.
Get my minister online in case things go wrong.
You are too funny.
I'm like, Lord, let me get the scripture out. Let me get it. Okay, Luke. I'm in the New Testament. I'm in the New Testament.
You are on the right show for that. Bible studies tomorrow. We have a weekly Bible study actually on our show every Thursday. So she's a day early, everybody.
Hallelujah. 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 The thing is, the industry is based pretty much on a European standard. So they are not ready for a shapely girl, whether you're black, Latino, Arabic, whatever. So it's gonna take time for the world to catch up. I mean, there are people that are creating the stuff for you, but it's just a matter of are you going there or you may not even like it. But we have dress forms. Yes, the industry standard is like a size 4.
That's bananas. A size 4?
Okay, well, then you don't want to know what size I am, then. Okay.
But, you know, I can't knock that. You know what's so funny? I just gained weight, like, these last couple years, and it's documented on my Facebook. I'm now going to the gym. I was at the gym this morning because I do want to lose maybe 10 or 15 pounds. But I was, like, 145, and I'm 5'8", for a while, and I remember everyone saying, are you sick? Are you okay? Girl, you need to eat more. I mean, it's like... You know, this whole self-image, and as a designer, are those some of the things that you take into consideration when designing clothes, or do designers not design for black or for white? We just design.
Okay, this is where you'll probably hang up. I'm going to be like technical difficulties. First of all, I think I just design for a healthy body. So, like, you just admitted that you have gained weight. You just admitted that you have gained weight.
Yeah.
So for your own health's sake, you would want to lose weight, I would think. And then clothes, I mean, I'm sorry. I came from an industry of custom design, and it is hard. It is harder to design for a larger size man or woman. I mean, and it takes more fabric, but it can happen. But the thing is, they say themselves, like, man, I bet it's easier for you if I was smaller. I'm like, well, yeah, but, I mean, you came here for custom design. We can make it work, and they will look just as good as the thinner person. So I'm just saying that you just said that, in general, you have gained weight, and when you were thinner, people were telling you look sick. Don't listen to that. People don't want you to look good. No, I'm serious, because what I've seen when my friends were bigger and they lost weight, and then they're like, girl, you look sick, can't recognize you. It's okay, but I choose, my doctor, you know, they'll be like, well, my doctor told me I needed to lose the weight to be healthy and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm going to do what the doctor said. Don't try to push that you look great when you were 50 pounds overweight. because overweight is never healthy. It's not going to look good. But the industry in general, and I have my friends have worked with companies where they've tried to do a full figure line, and it has not worked, like a higher rate of good quality. Yeah, because I just think, and it's sad, and I don't know if you watched the What Would You Do show. They show, like, different people, like if they're skinny, what people react, or if they're bigger.
Yes,
it's a hatred toward overweightness. It's really bad. Like, there's like a double standard. So
it is.
Until people wrap their head around it, well, because I think they feel like, well, if you lost weight, you could fit stuff. That's how it seems. And
right.
That's not the right attitude. Like, we have to look at it. We're in America, and it's a growing epidemic of overweightness here. So
yes.
We have to decide. It is. It really is. And I believe I'm in the Midwest. I'm like in the capital. And people look at me and my husband like, okay, where are you from? They think we're from, like, another country because we're thin. And seriously, they really do. They're always like, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. I mean, we're just – go ahead.
I was just saying, you know what's so funny, Terry? When I moved to Atlanta, you know, New York, there's salad bars all over the place. New York is the epitome of, you know, they're eating two pieces of sushi for lunch and you drink coffee and you keep it moving. And when I moved to Atlanta, I'm like, do you guys have any salad bars? They were like, salad bars? Girl, you better get some cornbread. And in the short few years I lived in Atlanta, my whole diet changed. And I said, this is spooky. Just the concepts around food, and then it translates into other areas of your life, such as fashion, such as your lifestyle, such as hanging out with your friends. And, you know, I don't know about the Midwest too much. I've never lived there. I lived in New York. You know, New York and Cali, we're our own island, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I just know as it relates to fashion, as we bring this full circle back to fashion, I just find it difficult let's take the weight piece out of it, to find age-appropriate clothes. I don't want to look 12.
Well, we have a problem anyway that society, it's getting worse. Like, people are trying to look younger and younger, and that's what you're seeing. Because I've been shopping, I'm like, is this, what age is this? I'm like, I don't dress like this. And it's not even a great quality. Like, you see, like, women that are, like, 50 and 60 shopping at Forever 21, and I'm like, what are you trying to hold on to? I'm like, what are you trying to hold on to? So it's not just you. You are, what you're watching is true. I've seen it. And I'm like, but that is for some girl that is, like, preteen, and yet you'll see, like, her and her mother both shopping in that same department.
You know.
And the cut's not right because the body is different. Like, if you're not a preteen, like, you don't have that teen body. So sometimes, I know you know what I'm talking about. You'll see someone wearing something, and the cut doesn't look right, like it's made for that body. Even if they're small or whatever, it's still like it looks like it's not cut for you because you are not a junior.
Yes.
You're not a preteen. So it's obsessed with youth. It's rampant in everything. It's like in not just in clothing.
I totally agree. Kelly Price is a dear friend of mine, and I remember when I lived in Atlanta, we had dinner together, and one of our issues, she said, Saida, I have a daughter, and I don't want my daughter in a two-piece. I just don't. She said, but I can't find a one-piece in the store. And at the time, I think her daughter was maybe 11 or 10 or something like that, and I said, Kelly, and Kelly was big, and then she's small, and we've talked about fashion, and that's why I said even take the ethnicity or the curves out of it, just even finding age-appropriate things.
Yeah.
I don't want to shop from Blair catalog, but I don't want to look like I'm, you know, dressed to date, you know, a 19-year-old or looking 19.
Right.
So what should someone – I'm 37. You all know everything else about me, so I think you all know my age too. But, you know, is it a nice pair of jeans and a nice top? What could be considered fashion-forward yet age-appropriate?
I think you should be able to wear what you're comfortable with. I love jeans. I mean, to me, if you can't rock a pair of jeans, then there's a problem. Like, you should be able to have a – you can get jeans and everything, skinny legs, flared, tapered, high waist, low waist, no pocket, with pockets. You should be able to rock jeans with everything. It's about, like, if you feel comfortable with your body, then have a more form-fitting top. If not, then have a looser or just pair it up with a jacket. But it's, I think if you don't know what you how you look and you take someone who you think has it going on in the fashion sense, take them shopping with you and help them help you get your look together. Because not everything that you see on TV is right, like what they're trying to tell you. What they're
one
trying to tell you looks good.
All.
No. And that, oh, no. I think they should say just one size fits. If it fit, if they should call it fit-ums. If it, if it fits you, that's you. Like, but one thing that you made clear about was that when you were in New York is a walking city. So is Chicago.
Yeah.
Atlanta, you have to get in a car to even go to your neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
So your whole lifestyle changed. It totally changed. You went from people being really health conscious, now maybe not so much as in L.A. or whatever, but to, like, things maybe being more fried. Now they're catching up to it, but, you know, on the more healthier side of everything. But I live on McDonald's. Like, I'm sorry. I live on McDonald's. But I never do. I don't believe in the supersize. I just believe I get a cheeseburger Happy Meal, and that's it. Because to me, that should be enough to fill you. I don't. Any supersize is just ridiculous. It should be like for, it should say supersize if you want to share, because two people, I'm not saying two people can eat one of those meals. The Coke is the size of Texas.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're so right. You are so right.
And you see people guzzling down that one Coke, and I'm like, that was like a 2 liter. How did you drink that?
You know, my 15-year-old can eat like a double quarter pound of fries and a soda, burp and be like, Ma, you cooking when we get home?
Oh, I live for my, I get me a nice Coke, it has to be strong, and after the belt, you're good for a second round.
But
when I was younger, I did that. When I was younger, I mean, I was a cheerleading pom-pom and all those things. I would, oh gosh, me and my friend Amy, we would have every day, it would be two Big Macs in a large fry. And everyone was like, you guys are so thin. But, I mean, I don't know, I think food was different. And then it didn't, wasn't injected with steroids and all that other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy. We have a question in the chat room. We're down to the last 13 minutes of the interview. This has gone so quickly. It went so fast. One of my dear listeners, Pastor Montan McDonald, he's based in Tennessee, just shot me a question in the chat room that says a lot of Pastor, let me scroll back up. A lot of the young ladies in his church are really into fashion. Hold on one second, Terry. Let me just I have a few girls in my church that want to get into fashion. One as a designer and one as a model. As young girls, what can I do to encourage them? And that came from the chat room.
I mean, the one thing you can do is just give them the information. All agencies have open calls. It's just open call, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday. It's open call. You just show up. You don't have to look like all made up. You just come kind of natural looking, and they're going to look at you and snap a photo if they're interested. So if the one that wants to be a model, that's all she has to do. The one that's in design, she has to make sure that that is her passion, because so many people want to do it. They think it's easy and, you know, you just create stuff. Well, you actually have to have the skills behind it, too. So if she has a natural talent like Melissa says that she had or whatever, then go for it, go to school, and make it happen. But I also think if you go to school for fashion design, you also need to go to school for the business part of it, too, because that's the most important part. Like, I really don't, me personally, I've said this before, I don't think you can really teach the design, because I think it's in you. Like, I just think that people can dance, they can dance. You can maybe train them on ballet and different techniques, but it has to be in you already. You can perfect different skills. So she's definitely, if she's not already sewing and know how to draft and all that stuff, definitely need to do that. Not saying you don't need, you know, go to a two-year degree school or a four-year, whatever, but you definitely got to perfect the skill, I think. Take some pattern making, drafting, construction, and tailoring, and then you're just go for it.
Pastor, don't forget, you know, here's a shameless plug. You can download the show through iTunes, or you can just visit the archives and download it right to your computer so you can replay that information for the ladies. One thing I do want to mention, and that Pastor Montan did just put in the chat room, they're in Tennessee and may not have the access. You know, in New York, there's an agency cropping up every day. Someone that's not on
you can do it
post.
Online. They can
oh,
do it
really?
Online. Yes. Almost on Ford, all of them, you can pull them up online and send your picture. They will ask you to take a headshot, no makeup, front, and then like a face shot, and then a full body shot. You can send it
really?
Online. Mm-hmm. See, girl, give me the questions. I will answer it.
Wow. Well, here's another one. What are the – okay. Oh, he corrected me. He said we do have agencies.
Oh, you get instant feedback.
Oh.
You get instant.
Now, you know, Pastor, I didn't mean it like that. You know, that was an earnest question. His last question is, what are some of the warning signs?
Girl,
gotta
this
love my
is
show.
On it. He is on it.
Gotta love the show. What are some of the warning signs, like, for an agency? And then I've got one last question because we're down to the last couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Any agency that asks you to pay money, that I just think you need to stay clear of, because if they want you, they want you. They will pay for your photos and all that stuff. That's, to me, one of the warning signs. Second is any agency that is like saying take a shot in a bikini, all that kind of stuff. She's just gonna be doing like exotic parties and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
okay.
They will not request that of you. Like it has to be a legitimate, and you can always investigate them. Thank goodness for Google, you can look up anything you want. Like
okay,
I'm not trying to plug Google, but you can really look up any and everything to get instant information. So
the money, so be wary of if they ask money or if they ask you to drop your drawers.
And if a pole rises up, and if you are asked to slide down into a pit and pop, not an agency.
You are too funny. I have one last question. True, who's my buddy out in Cali, says, also there are different areas of designs, so it does not have to be clothes only, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do all kinds of design. It depends on what you want, but that's the thing. They have to know what their passion is. Is it graphic design? Like, do you want to design T-shirts? Do you want to do CAD design? There's different levels of fashion that you can get into. Believe me, production.
Wow.
If you want to do visual merchandising, there's different avenues that you can go down. So yeah,
I remember working in the Gap in college, and I thought I wanted to be a window designer, and I thought, how will I ever make money? You know, dressing up windows. Looking back, I'm like, wait a minute, I probably could have made a lot of money if I had stayed doing that. And that was one of my. They always said, well, have Cy do the window.
Mm-hmm.
I have no fashion sense. I mean, I'm such a jeans and T-shirt kind of gal, but I didn't realize people have viable careers dressing windows.
That's where I just came from. Yeah, you have viable careers being it just keeps growing. Like you start out as the window dresser or the in-store stylist, and then from there you go to like maybe the manager, then you go the regional visual manager, then you go to corporate. And I've went through all of those tiers. Trust me, I've been through all of those tiers, and you can make a nice lucrative salary. You can make a six-figure salary. You can't trust.
Wow,
so.
That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
One more question in the chat room. My niece is designing shoes. I would like to send Terry some pics to her blog if that's okay. Her shoes are hot. And he says, I'll get you some pics too, Cy.
No, okay, you can send some pics, but can you send a size 7?
No, that's right, Terry.
If they're that hot, I need them in a size 7, 3 inches.
Well, I guess.
We just said promoting. We said promote now. I'm here to promote.
I guess that's a yes. So definitely send some pics to Terry's blog. Terry, I'm so happy that you joined me today. You really don't know. I've watched you on TV, and, you know, it's so nice to see people of color. I know it probably sounds, like, antiquated, but it was nice to root for you every week. It really, really was. And, you know, to have you come on my show and just kind of chill with us and come into our world for an hour, I'm appreciative. So good looking out.
Oh, thank you. And that was the fastest hour ever. Girl, I could talk all day, really.
Aww.
But call me, seriously. Become my new BFF. My new BFF.
Look, when you come into the New York City area, everyone knows that I host a little a gathering at my house the first Friday of the month. So if you're in New York around the first, come on, swing by my place. But it's all good. Thanks, True, who's my timekeeper. Just let me know. We are down to the last couple minutes of the show. You see, my listeners are like, okay, Si, you got a couple minutes left. Can you give some final thoughts or words of encouragement, even words that transcend fashion, just something to keep my listeners encouraged?
I just say I think it's important to just do you, but also be aware of what's going on within the industry, because I don't think I follow trends. I really don't. I think if you look at my designs, they're pretty much like stuck on the 60s and 70s, just maybe updated just a little bit with a little twist. But I just think you just have to stay into the moment. Like, don't take it too seriously. I mean, make it a business, but don't take it too seriously. That's just how I feel. Like, I just enjoy what I do. And that's why it doesn't seem like work to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't feel like hard work. I'm working hard, but it doesn't seem like it's hard work, like I don't want to do it, you know. Because once my stuff gets on the runway and once it leaves, like, I'm over it. I'm on to the next thing. I'm like, okay, next. But, you know, I'll be in Brooklyn soon. I'm supposed to do the BK Fashion Weekend. You all can come and catch me.
I just invited myself, everybody. I'll blog about it. You know, I'll be the girl in the back looking through the window.
You say you're 5'8", girl. I may pull you into the show. Can you walk? Can you step?
Look, I have to – wait. Remember, I told you I'm 180, so I'm a little,
it's okay. I got dashikis. Dashikis, girl. Don't worry.
Carrie, you are too funny. Everybody, thank you so much. I'm looking at everybody. Dropping C just put in the chat room, great show, Si. True put, he's helping with production today. True also put, love is love. I appreciate you all, because these are all people who are at work. You know, on the East Coast, it's 12 noon. This is people's lunchtime. And on the West Coast, they're just sitting down to their desk to work. And these are people that kind of hang out with me every day. So I'm grateful if I had one listener. So all the listeners that I have, I can't ask for anything more. So, Terry, my darling, thank you for hanging out with me.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Oh, it's all good. You have an open invitation to come back. Everybody, remember, don't forget that we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. Tomorrow is Thursday. It's our weekly Bible study. We're going to get down with the get down. If you don't have your Bible, I'll have mine. And Friday, you know what Friday is. Welcome to the weekend. And I had DJ Robbie Rob give me an awesome master mix. So I've got some great music on Friday. Our Bible study is tomorrow. Love you all for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time right here on LifeRemixRadio.com. It's your girl, Si Brown, and I'll see you soon. Peace.
Oh, that was great.